Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento was long known as a city of trees, but in recent years, the city has officially shifted to becoming the farm-to-fork capital. The region's most anticipated music and food festival will return to Capitol Mall this weekend. The Farm-to-Fork Festival, which began in 2013, is a gastronomical celebration of Sacramento and pays homage to the farmers and chefs who feed the region. The two-day festival hosts various demonstrations, exhibits, and discussions on food advocacy, providing a seat at the table for the diverse population that calls Sacramento home. To tell us more about all the food options and the music and what to expect is Mike Testa with Visit Sacramento. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Vicky.
So this has evolved from 1 year to the next to the next. We're almost at a decade now. What can a first-time festival goer expect this weekend?
Well, the Farm to Fork Festival is really about celebrating Sacramento's heritage. So, you know, one of the things we do better than anybody else in the country is grow food. So at this festival, we've got a lot of farmers and ranchers. We've got a lot of restaurateurs. We've got grocery stores with the giant produce section. So the idea is really to get a snapshot of what Sacramento is. When you come to this festival, it is a local celebration on who we are.
You know, what goes into organizing this? Because this is really just like a feat. I mean, every year I go, there's tons of swag that you can get from vendors. But you have music, you have demonstrations, you have learning experiences. I mean, how do you put all this together?
Yeah, it's interesting. The first year we hosted it, there was about 20,000 people. Pre-pandemic, we were well over 100,000 people. That's what happens when you have a free festival.
Yeah.
But to your point, we have four stages. Three of them are cooking demo stages with local chefs and different people from the region. Winemakers are there talking about how to pair food with wine. And then we have a music stage as well. So, you know, the idea is to get people to come out for the music in some ways, because not everybody thinks they want to do a cooking demo stage. But when they get out there, it's such a fun time. And again, so many people walking around just enjoying different parts of Sacramento. And you've been there. The smells just walking up and down the street with everybody cooking is pretty cool.
You leave well fed. That's
for sure.
I was looking at the itinerary for this year. You have drag queen Miss Dumi Moore leading an exhibit on cooking. You have hand-pulled noodle demonstrations, presentations on chefs, as also community advocates, and discussions about women in hospitality. I mean, talk to us about kind of leading with a wide representation of such a diverse group that who are all Sacramentans.
Yeah, the one thing that everybody has in common is that we all eat, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy to put together programming that appeals to a number of different people. One of the things that's new this year, we've worked with the James Beard Foundation to do a James Beard stage. If you are in the chef community or restaurateur, James Beard is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So to have local chefs, and we're also bringing some different chefs in from California, that's a new element this year. One of the things I'm really excited about is the West End. We have brought in something that we've not done before. The West End in Sacramento was really the central business district way early in the 19th century, 20th century. And so what we've done is we've partnered with the Last Supper Club to talk about the food then. You know, this was 70% of that population there was non-white. So you talk about the heritage of Sacramento. We want to make sure we're telling that story. There were jazz legends that came through Sacramento, you know, the Billie Holidays and the Cab Calloway. So we've created something called the West End that will celebrate the food, the music, and everything that was going on during that time. So all of that is part of Farm to Fork. Again, we're celebrating the region, and that's part of our history.
It's celebrating, but it's also taking an honest look at what happened. I have a lot of friends that are talking about the West End culinary experience, which I believe is on Friday.
Correct.
And it really just highlights the displacement of a culturally diverse population lost to redevelopment. And we've had the Last Supper Society on Insight not too long ago. What led to this partnership? Because it's not just enjoying a lot of food, celebrating the diversity of Sacramento for this experience, but it's also telling the story of history.
Yeah, I think it's being deliberate in telling that story. When we met with Last Supper Society, we told them, we don't know this as well as you do. This is something that you guys have studied and understand it better than anybody else. So we want you to tell that story. We want you to be factual. We don't want you to hold anything back. Let's make sure that this generation knows what happened in the past so they can appreciate it and continue that moving forward.
Yeah. And the Last Supper Society, I mean, it's important to establish, I mean, they're locals, they're a relatively young group, and they're young and progressive, and this culinary organization where you can head over to dinner at Tiger in downtown Sacramento. There's like this up and coming generation that's now being incorporated into what has long been an established, you know, farm to fork scene in Sacramento.
Yeah, these guys are really incredible. I mean, they bring such passion, and that's the point, you know. At Visit Sacramento, one of the things that we talk about is we're really good at putting on events. We're really good at marketing. But we refer to the people who know the history. We're not trying to tell somebody's story that we're halfway educated on. So we try to contract with groups who know that history and who can tell that story very factually.
Yeah, approaching it with humility. You know, one other thing, when looking back at the legacy of Sacramento, especially the wine region, you're going to have the Bogle family share a history presentation. What's that going to look like?
You know, when you talk about wine in this region, I mean, the Bogle family has been producing wine for 50 years, and they remain a family business. So I forget how many cases they produce a year. It's like 2 million cases. They are an international brand. So again, when you talk about farm to fork, they're down the road from downtown Sacramento, 20 minutes.
Delta.
Yeah. And they can tell that story better than anybody else, because not only do they grow grapes for their wines, but they grow grapes for wineries in Napa. So when you talk about Northern California and wine, Bogle are the experts.
This festival is also including some pretty cool music headliners. There's Japanese Breakfast, Gregory Porter. You know, what led to the diverse selection of musical talent? What goes into that, into enticing them to come to Sacramento and the Farm to Fork Festival?
We brainstorm at the beginning of the year, what type of talent do we want out there? And we try to do not just one genre of music. We try to mix it up so that, again, whatever your taste in music is, there's a piece for you at the Farm to Fork Festival. Japanese Breakfast, we selected them and reached out to their management, and they were just kind of up and coming. And little did we know, 3 weeks after we signed them, they would be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
So they are, you know, they've blown up in a really good way. Gregory Porter, one of those things, I'm not incredibly familiar with his music, but somebody came into my office and said, we got Gregory Porter? So the following for these bands is really good. And again, there's a little bit of country Americana, there's some soul, there's some jazz in there, so we really try to mix it up.
I mean, Mike, you've long been embedded in Sacramento. I would imagine you learn a great deal every year.
I do. You know, it's funny. I you think you know it, right? And we have people that live in Sacramento that will pick up our visitor guide and thumb through it and say, I have no idea. And I do the same thing at the Farm to Fork Festival. Every year there's something I didn't realize what's happening in this region. So it's a really cool way to kind of re-fall in love with Sacramento.
Yeah. You, when it comes to actually participating as a vendor, that can be costly for some people. You've actually found a way to partner with Bank of America to waive vendor fees for first-time vendors who are people of color. How is this idea conceived?
So Sonia Bradley, who's our chief officer of diversity, equity, and inclusion, has long been embedded in this community. And one of the things she talked about is we want to make sure that this festival is accessible to everybody. It's one thing to make it free for the public. It's another thing for the vendors to be able to get in. So we essentially ran a campaign where we had interest from vendors who wanted to be a part of it, who didn't have the ability to pay the fee. And so, like you said, thanks to Bank of America, we were able to underwrite their cost to get into the festival. It's the second year we've done this. We expanded it this year, and the reception has been very good. And I know after last year, one of the groups saw their sales fairly dramatically increase after the festival. So it's exposure for these groups. You know, sometimes you don't know they exist until you see them at something like this, and then you go back to their place of business.
Since 2013, how have you seen the dividends pay off for vendors that participate at Farm to Fork?
It's interesting, you know, these food trucks, as an example, they do so many different festivals. What I always appreciate is they are lined up to do the Farm to Fork Festival, which tells me that we're charging the right price for them to be involved, and they're seeing a big revenue collection. So same with the restaurants, same with a lot of the farmers, and just individual vendors selling honey or lemonade. They're seeing tremendous value in the festival because of the number of people who come and because, frankly, of the rates that we charge. You know, we're not trying to get rich on vendor fees. We're trying to create an experience for the attendees.
Yeah, what I love about the Farm to Fork Festival, or just festivals in general, is that, especially in Sacramento, I kind of get locked into my neighborhood in terms of where I like to eat, where I like to go. But when you go to the Farm to Fork Festival, it gets you out of your neighborhood and out of what's routine in your comfort zone. You get to explore, you know, different cuisines from different parts of the city and the region overall.
And that's exactly what happens. Again, I think people walk through and see something or taste something they didn't know was in Sacramento. And like you said, it may not be very far from where they live, but if they haven't gone outside of their neighborhood, and, you know, Nash and Proper is a great fried chicken group that's out there every year, and their line is always the longest. So I would just try to hit them first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's where I was introduced to them at that festival. I hadn't seen them before, and now I'm a customer whenever they drive by.
Yeah, I love Nash and Proper. I very rarely will wait in line at that length, but they are definitely worth it. When it comes to the grant recipients from this year, who are some of them? The vendors that actually had some partnerships with Bank of America, or which vendors are you looking forward to? What are some things that we haven't covered that people should know about this weekend?
Well, there's a couple of nonprofits that are out there, food related and food specific, and I think those are really powerful. You know, for many of us who go to the grocery store, who go to restaurants to get our food, we don't always understand the struggle that others have. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things you'll see this year is some of the vendors out there will talk about that, how people don't have the same access to food across the Sacramento region, and that there's a number of programs helping them to try to do that. And then you'll also see just some really amazing food, some restaurants, again, that you probably haven't heard of that haven't been to the festival before. We've got a lot of first-time vendors this year. So I'm excited to see that and get people exposed to what they do.
Visit Sacramento focuses on tourism, and this is a celebration of the Sacramento region. But have you seen in recent years people coming from out of town to experience this festival?
Without question. We track these things. We actually had somebody from Alaska come last year.
Wow.
And we were able to track them down because we knew where they were staying. And we asked them, did you come specifically for this festival? And they had. They were making it a Northern California tour. They were going to Napa and San Francisco. But their first stop was the Farm to Fork Festival. So it's the other thing that we've heard from some of the bands that we booked over the years. They're now calling us in advance, saying what does 2023 look like for the Farm to Fork Festival. So the word has gotten out, which is obviously really positive. We drive a lot of folks from this region to the festival, but certainly when you book a band like Japanese Breakfast, who has a huge Bay Area following, we expect a lot of folks from the Bay Area this weekend.
Yeah, and it's a free festival.
Yeah, it's tough to beat the price, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get sold out from a ticket because they're all free, and you know, you could theoretically walk around that festival, have a great time, and never spend a dime.
The last couple of years that we've talked, Mike, we haven't had, you know, the best conversations when it comes to Sacramento's economy and the tourism economy, but it really seems like we're making a pivot and we're making a hard left for the better. What are things looking like now?
They're certainly better than they were last year. You know, we're at about 89% of our hotel revenue collections and the city's transient occupancy tax. That's one of the ways that we judge it, how many people are staying in hotels. What we're still struggling with is business travel. There's a lot of corporations, whether they think a recession is looming or their profits are not where they were. You know, the folks that would send four people to a convention are now sending one person to a convention. So these things are still happening. They're just a little lighter from an attendance standpoint than they were pre-pandemic. But they are going in the right direction, so we're feeling optimistic.
When it comes to the convention center, it underwent this major like facelift and renovation, but of course during the pandemic, how is convention traffic looking? I mean, it's probably not up to scale as you would like, given what you just said, but overall, how's it going?
It's good. I mean, the volume of conventions is where we want it to be. It's the attendance that still continues to struggle. And I think part of it is still, you know, there's still some COVID fear out there. I think people are hesitant to get on an airplane. But when I look at the calendar, you know, the volume is where we want it to be. It's just a matter of when will the attendance start to pick up. And, you know, the data shows that will happen mid-year next year. So we're hopeful that the data is correct.
When it comes to this evolution of hybrid or remote work, how is that still impacting the city center, the core of small businesses that rely, especially when you think about the state capital, that rely on people to eat lunch there and head there after work?
It's a huge impact. I mean, you think about, you know, the convention that we thought would draw 6,000 people is drawing 3,000 people, but also the state workers. You know, 30% of Sacramento's workforce is state workers, and a lot of them are staying home. Obviously, there's some that don't have the ability to work from home, but that is probably my biggest concern right now. What does that look like in a couple years? If we lose 30% of our workforce downtown, which is effectively 70 to 80,000 people, that's a huge hit to our businesses, and it will mean more restaurants will close. And for me, as the guy driving tourism, part of the thing I push is Farm to Fork and our restaurants. So if I don't have that vibrant restaurant scene, it's going to be a lot tougher to attract the tourists.
What can we look forward to on the positive end for the rest of the year? I mean, there was the World Butcher Challenge at Golden One Center. We had the head of Taylor's Market on for that. There's just a lot of fun things that are happening, and like the Butcher's Challenge for the first time.
Yeah, you know, between now and the end of October, there's a lot going on. Obviously, Farm to Fork this weekend. October 7th, we host Aftershock, which is the largest hard rock festival in the United States.
Is that two weekends again?
No, it's 4 days starting on the 7th, but then the next weekend is Golden Sky, which is the country music festival that we're bringing in for the first time. So that's Tim McGraw and a number of other headliners. So between those two events, we expect about 200,000 people in the market. 65% of those are from outside this region. And then the weekend after Golden Sky, we host Iron Man. So again, October is a jammed month for tourism.
Back to back to back.
Yep.
We talked years ago about the lack of hotel occupancy. That is changing now. We have some nice hotels that are being built. What does occupancy look like when you're talking about a music festival? festival or back-to-back music festivals from Aftershock to a country festival where you're going to have tens of thousands of people in Sacramento.
Yeah, Aftershock, that weekend, the hotels will be full. From Davis to Rockland, the hotels will be full. I think Golden Sky the weekend after, you'll see something very similar. It's the first year, so it's going to take a little bit to grow. And same with Ironman. You've got 4,300 athletes, and they don't come by themselves. If you do an Ironman, you want everybody to witness it, right? So they've got family and friends. So, you know, the hotel rooms filled for that will also be significant. So again, September, October, if that could be the, you know, the benchmark for the rest of the year, we'd be in perfect shape. But it's going to be a great 6 weeks or so.
Finally, what are some of the big issues that you're still talking about with your colleagues at the city and just across the region about, you know, what Sacramento and the greater what 6 or 8 county region faces in the months and years to come? Because we still have issues with supply and inflation and gas has come down, but, you know, it's still expensive.
Yeah. You know, from a tourism standpoint, we are a drive-in market versus San Francisco, which is a fly-in market. So when gas prices are high, it absolutely impacts who comes into this region. I think, again, that the conversation of state workers and overall building occupancy downtown is a significant issue. If you look at, you know, the buildings that we have downtown, a lot of them are still shuttered. And I think there's a perception that downtown isn't safe. And I've heard from people in Roseville and Oak Grove that, oh, we just don't come downtown anymore. And those of us who are there on a daily basis, you know, things are different, but I wouldn't call them unsafe. So I think there's a perception issue with downtown that needs to change. And I'm hopeful as the economy starts to recover, as COVID is further in our rearview mirror, some of that will just naturally happen.
Mike, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Vicky.
That is Mike Testa, president and CEO of Visit Sacramento, talking about the Farm to Fork Festival and all things about Sacramento's tourism economy. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Joe Barr is Cap Radio's chief content officer. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.